Hi, this is Anne Merchant, and welcome to The Sounds of Science, the podcast brought to you by the National Academy of Sciences, the National Academy of Engineering, the Institute of Medicine, and the National Research Council, collectively known as the National Academies. While some may like to ease into the new year, using the month of January to quietly transition back from holiday to work mode, others celebrate the season with a renewed sense of vigor and eager anticipation of the best that's yet to come. We're just 2 weeks into 2008, and it's clear that the National Academies has begun the new year auspiciously. On January 4th, the National Academies hosted a major press event, marking the release of a new book called Science, Evolution, and Creationism. And based on the extensive media coverage, the continuing internet chatter, and the numerous downloads of the free PDF from our website, this event has not gone unnoticed. Designed to give the public a comprehensive and up-to-date picture of the current scientific understanding of evolution and its importance in the science classroom, the book was published jointly by the National Academy of Sciences and the Institute of Medicine and was written by a committee chaired by Francisco Ayala, a professor in the Department of Ecology and Evolutionary Biology at the University of California at Irvine, who holds a PhD in theology and is the author of several books on science and religion. Ralph Cicerone, president of the National Academy of Sciences, was on hand for the January 4th press event and introduced the book to the assembled audience.
We're very happy and pleased with this book that's being released today from the National Academy of Sciences and the Institute of Medicine. It's a publication that's very important to us because evolution is an important fact of nature, and it's also one of the bedrock theories in all of modern science. And we want people to understand better and better as to why that is.
Despite the overwhelming evidence supporting evolution, opponents have repeatedly tried to introduce non-scientific views into public school science classes through the teaching of various forms of creationism or intelligent design. In 2005, a federal judge in Dover, Pennsylvania, concluded that the teaching of intelligent design is unconstitutional because it is based on religious conviction and not on science. The National Academy of Sciences and the Institute of Medicine strongly maintain that only scientifically based explanations and evidence for the diversity of life should be included in public school science courses. Recent advances in science and medicine, along with an abundance of observations and experiments over the past 150 years, have reinforced evolution's role as the central organizing principle of modern biology. Indeed, the discovery and understanding of the processes of evolution represent one of the most powerful achievements in the history of science. Evolution successfully explains the diversity of life on Earth and has been confirmed repeatedly through observation and experiment in a broad spectrum of scientific disciplines. Evolutionary science provides the foundation for modern biology. It has opened the door to entirely new types of medical, agricultural, and environmental research, and has led to the development of technologies that can help prevent and combat disease. Harvey Feinberg, president of the Institute of Medicine, elaborated on that point at the press event.
From a health point of view, from the centrality of evolutionary thinking in understanding many threats to health today, you need only to reflect a moment on the problem of emerging infectious diseases, on the nature of HIV and its emergence in human populations in recent decades, on the SARS outbreak, on the threat continuing of influenza and other diseases, to recognize that evolutionary understanding is fundamental to both the prevention and the management of disease problems today. Evolution teaches us that it is not the strongest alone who survived, or even the most intelligent, but those organisms that are best adapted to their environments. And the microorganisms have had a long, long period of successful adaptation. We need to understand that. We need to be able to cope with it in order to preserve and protect human health.
In late 2002, several hundred people in China came down with a severe form of pneumonia caused by an unknown infectious agent. Later referred to by the acronym SARS, severe acute respiratory syndrome soon spread to Vietnam, Hong Kong, and Canada, and led to hundreds of deaths. In March 2003, a team of researchers at the University of California, San Francisco, received samples of a virus isolated from the tissues of a SARS patient. Using a new technology known as a DNA microarray, the researchers compared the genetic material of the unknown virus with that of known viruses. Within 24 hours, they assigned the virus to a particular family based on its evolutionary relationship to other viruses, a result confirmed by other researchers using different techniques. Immediately, work began on a blood test to identify people with the disease so they could be quarantined, on treatments for the disease, and on vaccines to prevent infection with the virus. Understanding the evolutionary origins of human pathogens will become increasingly important as new threats to human health arise. Bacteria that cause tuberculosis, meningitis, staph infections, sexually transmitted diseases, and other illnesses have evolved resistance to an increasing number of antibiotics and have become serious problems throughout the world. Knowledge of how evolution leads to increased resistance will be critical in controlling the spread of infectious diseases. Scientists have been able to uncover the story of evolution by studying the evidence available to us in the natural world. In particular, they've spent time analyzing the fossil record found in rock layers from different ages of Earth's history. In general, fossils that more closely resemble today's life forms are found in younger rock layers, while many fossils that only distantly resemble life today occur in older layers. Based on these findings, naturalists proposed that species change or evolve over time. Natural selection has been identified as a driving force behind these changes. Since then, scientists have found an overwhelming number of fossils in rock layers of different ages that repeatedly confirm the changes in life forms that are predicted by the theory of evolution. There are common structures and behaviors among many species. A person writes, a cow walks, a whale swims, and a bat flies with structures built of bones that are different in detail, but also remarkably similar to each other. Indeed, modern molecular biology confirms, reinforces, and expands on what we know from the fossil record. When fossils are compared to one another in structure and in age, it becomes clear that an ancestral species gave rise to an array of successor species with the same basic arrangement of limb bones. As new findings have repeatedly demonstrated, for any two species living today, their evolutionary lines can be traced back in time until the two lines intersect in a common ancestor. The fossil record, DNA research, the evidence that species have common ancestors, and other findings add up to overwhelming evidence that evolution by natural selection is how life on Earth arose and became diverse. Regrettably, effective science education in our schools is being undermined by efforts to introduce non-scientific concepts about evolution into science classrooms. Some people argue that the diversity of life did not evolve through natural processes. They advocate that creation and intelligent design creation be added to the school science curriculum, alongside biological evolution. But neither creationism nor intelligent design creationism are science. Dr. Francisco Ayala, chair of the committee that wrote this report, addressed that specific point at the news conference.
Well, we have to recognize what is science and what is not science. We don't teach astrology as an alternative to astronomy. We don't teach witchcraft as an alternative to medicine. We must not teach so-called creation science or intelligent design, which is not science. We cannot teach nonsense. As if it were sense.
It is important to note that the acceptance of the evidence for evolution can be compatible with religious faith. Today, many religious denominations accept that biological evolution has produced the diversity of living beings over billions of years of Earth's history. Many have issued statements observing that evolution and the tenets of their faith are compatible. Scientists and theologians have written eloquently about their awe and wonder at the history of the universe and of life on this planet, explaining that they see no conflict between their faith in God and the evidence for evolution. Religious denominations that do not accept the occurrence of evolution tend to be those that believe in strictly literal interpretations of religious texts. Science and religion are based on different aspects of the human experience. In science, explanations must be based on evidence drawn from examining the natural world. Scientifically based observations or experiments that conflict with an explanation eventually must lead to modification or even abandonment of that explanation. Religious faith, in contrast, doesn't depend on only empirical evidence, is not necessarily modified in the face of conflicting evidence, and typically involves supernatural forces or entities. Because they are not part of nature, supernatural entities cannot be investigated by science. In this sense, science and religion are separate and address aspects of human understanding in different ways. Attempts to pit science and religion against each other create controversy where none needs to exist. Science and science-based technologies have transformed modern life. They have led to major improvements in living standards, public welfare, health, and security. They have changed how we view the universe and how we think about ourselves in relationship to the world around us. Biological evolution is one of the most important ideas of modern science. Evolution is supported by abundant evidence from many different fields of scientific investigation. It underlies the modern biological sciences, including the biomedical sciences, and has applications in many other scientific and engineering disciplines. As individuals and societies, we are now making decisions that will have profound consequences for future generations. How should we balance the need to preserve the Earth's plants, animals, and natural environment against other pressing concerns? Should we alter our use of fossil fuels and other natural resources to enhance the well-being of our descendants? To what extent should we use our understanding of biology on a molecular level to alter the characteristics of living things? None of these decisions can be made wisely without considering biological evolution. We end today's podcast with comments made by Dr. Bruce Alberts, President Emeritus of the National Academy of Sciences and member of the authoring committee.
I'm going to take a very broad point of view and talk about what I believe the issue we're dealing with today is much more important than most people realize. Our nation's population don't really understand science and don't understand what scientific knowledge is and how it's acquired and why so-called science as a way of knowing deserves some special role in the way we think about the world, then we're going to make very bad decisions as a nation, policy decisions about our future, whether it's about how much arsenic in drinking water we should allow, a topic that the Academy dealt with several years ago, or what we should do about energy policy in view of the great threat of global warming. If we stick our head in the sand and sort of ignore what science knows will happen in the future, then of course other nations that are being much more scientific about their plans will dominate the world economy and the world, the state succession in the world will be dominant.
It is increasingly clear that people need to understand evolution, its role within the broader scientific enterprise, and its vital implications for some of the most pressing social, cultural, and political issues of our time. Science and technology are so pervasive in modern society that we must all have a grasp of the core concepts, applications, and implications of science. Because evolution has and will continue to serve as a critical foundation of the biomedical and life sciences, helping everyone, and especially our students, learn about and understand the scientific evidence, mechanisms, and implications of evolution are fundamental to good citizenship. Science, Evolution, and Creationism was produced by a committee of the National Academy of Sciences and the Institute of Medicine. An informational brochure, as well as the full-length report on which it is based, are both available for downloading in PDF format on the National Academy's Press website. Look, too, for a video on this same topic featuring Dr. Barbara Shaw, Vice President of the National Academy of Sciences and a member of the authoring committee of this book, which will soon be available for online viewing. My name is Anne Merchant, and you've been listening to The Sounds of Science, the podcast brought to you by the National Academies, advisors to the nation on science, engineering, and medicine. Be sure to visit us at our website at nationalacademies.org, where we have more than 3,000 books and publications available full text to read free online.